anyone get the Grinch vibes as we sing those two worship songs? With the color of the words up there? Not that we don't like Christmas. I'm just saying the colors got me. I don't know. You are invited. You are invited to the Christmas table. Last week we looked at Rebecca and Zechariah and look at their invitation to the Christmas table. The invitation to believe again. Maybe that was you. Maybe that's still you. That there's so many times God didn't answer the prayer the way you wanted it. Or maybe you're still in a waiting period for God to answer that prayer. But God wants you to believe again. There was a part in our life we were like that, where it's like, okay, God, we need you to come through. Just took a job at a church, and it was across the Capital District from where we lived. We started to look at houses out near the church where I worked, and eventually where Aaron worked. We were looking at house after house after house, and this was right in the boom of the market of buying houses. Not really so much selling it, because we were trying to sell a house too, and it wasn't going too well. But where we were going, they were booming. And I remember we would go and we'd walk through a house and we would discuss it. And we eventually found this one house we thought was going to be perfect. We had young boys at the time. And this house had this cool little cubby. It was a log cabin. It had this cool little cubby that you could climb up to. And it was like perfect for like a playroom for the boys to play in, that you actually had to climb upstairs in the like a ladder in the living room. Went to like in the attic area, but they like carpeted it and it was like perfect. So we put a bid in on the house. And we were like, okay, this is going to be great. But we knew that over the last few months, this wasn't the first house we put a bid in on. And every bid that we put in on a house fell through. But we thought this was going to be the perfect house. This is going to be the perfect house that we could raise our boys in. We put a bid in on it. It came down to two people. And we were the highest bid. The realtor actually told us we were the highest bid. But we still didn't get the house. It fell through. Our plans that we started to discuss of what we could do outside, the landscaping we could do, the things we could remodel inside. And it fell through. We thought it was the perfect location. It was in the school district the church was in. It was close enough to the church. And then we were crushed when the people took the other bid. We're like, we had the highest bid. Why wouldn't you want all the money that we were giving you? Our plans came crashing down. A month later, still going house to house to house, trying to find a house that we could move. And it was a small town just like this. Not a lot of houses on the market. And eventually, our realtor's like, I have a friend. I have a friend who is a contractor. He flips homes. And he's in the process right now. It was in the middle of the winter. And he's like, he's flipping a house right now. It was an old parsonage to a church. The church closed. And it was right next door to this rundown church. We walked in. He's like, come see it. They're in the middle of flipping it, but you got to come see it. So we walked into this house. And they ripped it down to the bare bones. As we walked in, there was no floors in it. There was no walls in it because they put all new sheetrock. They took the lath and plaster off all the walls. And we were walking through and we're like, okay. Yeah, this is lovely. This is great. One of the people from our church came to us and said, not knowing his situation, God had blessed him, blessed his family. And part of the reason why we got turned down on so many houses is we had the contingency to sell our home that we're currently in. He's like, here's what I want you to do. Find the house that you love, that you believe that God is calling you to move into. And I will make the offer a complete cash offer. And you can pay me back whenever that your house sells. And we're like, I think we found one. It was on a beautiful piece of property if you love to sled. Because the whole backyard was a hill. And we're like, I think this works. God opened the door for us. The house never went on the market. The contractor that was flipping it gave it to us way under market value. Where all the other offers we had, it was going to stretch us so far, so thin. In that process, we learned that God's plan is way better than ours. God has a perfect plan. And as we go through today, we're going to see the next two people invited to the Christmas story. And if you're going chronological in the Christmas story, it's pretty easy to discover the next two people are going to be Mary and Joseph. We're going to see that they had plans. And we're going to see that God's plans are way better than ours. We're going to see that when you're invited to God's plan, it's going to interrupt ours, but we're going to see that we have to surrender our plans to His. And as we look at Mary and Joseph's plans, the first thing we see is them surrendering their plans. And as we surrender, we discover our first point. Surrender begins with trusting God when you don't understand. And this is where we're going to pick up scripture today. We're going to look in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Mary is getting the invitation to the Christmas story. We're going to pick it up with verse 30. It says, "And the angel said to her," to Mary, "do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child who will be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." I want you to put yourself in Mary's shoes. An angel appears to her and says, "You are going to be pregnant." How many of us took health class? I love it now. There's reels that pop up. There's memes that pop up and says, abstinence is 99.99% effective. I thought that was kind of clever. She has questions. Her first question in her head comes up, "God, why me? Why are you picking me?" How many of us, when God asks us to do something, how many of us say, "Why me?" Or when God is calling, we act like the kid in the back of the classroom, like, "I don't want to make eye contact with the teacher. They're going to call on me. I don't want to raise my hand." Mary's like, "Why me?" The angel answered, "You have found favor with God." That wasn't her only question. I think she got over that pretty quickly. The angel showed up. I guess God answered that one. But the second one is, how can this be? She went to health class. She knows biology. How am I going to become pregnant? God answered that question. We surrender when we don't understand. And I could imagine just being in Mary's shoes or in her sandals saying, I don't understand how any of this is going to happen. None of this happened before. None of this is going to happen again. But she eventually said, okay, God. I love the Proverbs. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And we finish that verse, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So many times we want to trust in someone. We want to trust in our friends. We want to trust in our parents. We want to trust in our kids. But we want to know, understand what's going to happen next. God doesn't work that way. It's like, how many of you have ever done those trust falls where they come, they stand you up on something tall, and they get all your friends to stand behind you and like link arms? We're going to do this at youth group with only two people. You're going to catch me? No. But you fall back. You have to trust those people. You don't know what's going to happen. And believe me, I've done youth group long enough, we have dropped the number of kids. They were almost all okay. But we don't know the outcome when we trust God. The thing is that when we trust God and we know that God is good and that his plans are better than ours, that no matter what happens, we know it's for our good. I remember being in college, finishing up, becoming a math teacher. I was doing my student teaching. We were married. I had my last semester left. I was working, doing my student teaching over at Edison Tech. And as I was going through that, I felt God calling me to go into ministry. Going, not saying that teacher, go into a full-time ministry, go into working at a church, working wherever. And I'm like, okay, God, this does not make sense. I'm literally in my last semester of college. And I feel that you're calling me somewhere totally different, that I should have 4 years early, I picked a different career to go through in college. As I sat there, I looked at it. I started asking some friends. I started asking some mentors of mine, some family members, saying, should I do this? Should I totally switch? Well, I believe God is calling me this direction. And I remember some of their answers. You're crazy. Because I was like, oh, I found this job. I can work for this wonderful organization called Youth for Christ, but I have to raise all my support. I need people to support us as we do this ministry in this school. I need people to support us in this. So I won't have income when we graduate. And we're married. And I'm like, and we have to move back from Rochester to the Capital District as we do this. And people were like, you're crazy. I literally got offered a job at one of the places I did my student teaching. They're like, you could work here. And they're like, you're giving up knowing that you have income to do something that you don't know if you'll have income anytime soon. I'm like, I believe this is the plan. It wasn't clear. But God was calling. I had to put my complete trust in him. We literally moved back to the capital region with no job. Erin gave up her job that she had, and we moved back, and we're like, okay, God, we don't know what we're going to do. Within our first couple days there, we found jobs. I started raising the support to work for Youth for Christ. God's plan was better. We had to surrender our plans. Not just surrender our plans, because we also, when we surrender, it requires laying down personal plans. Couldn't even imagine. Two people invited. Mary, we saw she was had questions. She didn't know. Things were unclear. And as the husband, or soon-to-be husband, Joseph had plans. He was going to get married, have kids, become a carpenter like his dad. He had plans. And as we pick up in Matthew 1, we see Joseph. Starting with verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of God, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.' When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." We think about it. It was nice as my son and daughter-in-law planned their wedding. Our daughter-in-law going through, she was living with us as she was planning it out in the Capital District with her family in Iowa. She had a plan. She had what she wanted to do. And it seems, I guess this is for some ladies. Some ladies start dreaming about their wedding day when they're young. My sister, I think, did this. She started cutting out. They had magazines of wedding dresses and different things and have this idea of what their wedding is going to be like. I think guys are slightly different. We don't care what we're going to wear to the wedding. We don't care, you know. But we have plans. I had plans. I was going to go to college. I was going to become a teacher. I was going to get married, have kids. And live like all the other teachers that I have, you know, go to church, do all those wonderful things. But God changes those plans. And God changes Joseph's plans. His plans change, but I guarantee, just like most of us, he became designing a set of new plans. Okay, my wife's pregnant, or my future wife is pregnant. I'm going to divorce her quietly. I'm going to start this whole process over again with someone else. Mary, being pregnant, shattered his plans, shattered his expectations. But Joseph listened. He listened in that dream to God, saying, "Surrender your plans and embrace my calling. Embrace what I have for you." And God is calling that to each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what age we are. We could be living in what we believe God has called us to. And you know what? God continues to call us to different things. So many people that I have known started one career. One of my uncle's friends, he worked for IBM down in Binghamton. He was a few years away from retirement, and IBM shut down. They were laid off. And in his early 60s, God said, you know what? I have something for you to do. I want you to become the youth pastor at your church. 60 years old, he became the youth pastor at the church he was going to. I got to meet this man at some youth events up in the Capital District. It was such an inspiration to see God calls us, keeps calling us, changes our plans. And sometimes, the way he changes our plans is to shatter our plans. We have gone through some of that in our lifetime, seeing God shatter their plans. We have plans, oh, we built this house, we're going to retire in this house, we're going to stay in this church. And then God just shatters them and says, no, I have something different for you. There's a story of a pastor who dreams of working at a large church in the city. But God had different intentions for him. God led him to a rural congregation. He resisted. But over the years, he saw such transformation in the families, the community. And he realized God's plans were better, not just different. Sometimes God asks you to surrender a dream. So many of us, I love watching sports, and as you watch sports, you hear the stories of the people, the players that had dreams, like little kids. There was Jimmer Fredette. I don't know if any of you remember him, but he grew up in the Glens Falls or out in the Capital District. When he was a little kid, he wrote his dream to play in the NBA someday. And he had the list of things he was going to do to get to the NBA. And he put it on his wall in his room. He had a dream. So many of us are like that. I had a dream I was going to be the next Larry Bird. But that didn't work out too well, as you can see. God wants us to surrender our dreams. Not just our dreams. He wants us to surrender our timetable of where we're going to go and what we're going to do. He wants us to surrender our comfort zone. So many times that God, I have gotten comfortable, and God had to shake my world to get me out of what I was comfortable with. We need to give God permission to replace our plans with his greater purpose. The last thing we have to do is surrender. Surrender brings us to a place that doesn't make sense in this world. Just like when I surrendered my plan of becoming a math teacher, it didn't make sense to a lot of people, even my parents. They're like, we just paid for you to go through 4 years of college, and now you want to change everything. Mary and Joseph were that way. I guarantee we don't hear about Joseph's parents, but if he had parents still around, I guarantee they were like, divorce her quietly. Move on. I guarantee his friends were saying the same thing. You will be a disgrace if you continue on to marry her and that is not your kid. Things that don't make sense. Uncertainty. In this world, we want to know what's going to happen next. We want to know when we invest our money that it's going to make money. We want to know that if we take this job, we're going to make this money. We're going to be able to live this way. But following God shouts to the world uncertainty. But following God is the most certain way to live. In Philippians 4, it reads, "The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." That's not the peace. The peace of God is not peace that makes everything make sense. The peace of God is knowing that the one you find peace in is the one who's in control. There was a believer, a person I knew, that felt prompted to forgive someone that deeply hurt them. It made no sense emotionally to forgive this person. But the moment they surrendered, the hurt that this person did to them, to God, they experienced peace. Deeper than anyone could understand. And that peace brought healing. That peace brought relationships being restored. And only true surrender into what made sense opened the door to peace. Surrender doesn't always change your situation immediately, but it changes you. When you say yes to God, peace follows. This morning, I have a couple questions for you. Where is God asking you to trust Him without having understanding? Maybe He's asking you to do something, go somewhere, talk to someone. Maybe it's as simple as go talk to your neighbor and invite them to Christmas Eve. Maybe it's a neighbor that, you know, took your shovel and never returned it. Or some other thing, reason why you built a fence between you and them. Next question is, what plan or expectation or fear is He asking you to surrender? Just like those youth group kids that would fall completely back, it took fear. How many of them would step back instead of, or look back and see if the friends of theirs were having their arms crossed to catch them? They had to surrender. That's the same thing we have to do to God. Our fear of being in control. No matter what happens. No matter what happened in Aaron in my life, I always wanted to be in control. I always wanted to have a plan saying, this is how I'm going to fix it. Even if something went wrong, this is how I was going to fix it. And over the years, I had to get away from, this is how I am going to fix it, to surrender and say, this is how God is going to fix it. I'm going to let go and let God. My last question for you this morning. What step of obedience is God inviting you to take? Do you need to say, like Mary, here am I. Okay, God, whatever your plans. Or maybe you're going along the path and you need to trust Him even more as you take each step. God only gives us a lamp onto our feet. He doesn't give us a spotlight onto our direction that we're going. God's invitation requires our obedience. And from that obedience, we get full understanding. As the ladies come back up, we're going to close with another, just a quick chorus. Christmas carol, another carol, of course. But I want to close with this. There was an old man once reflected on his life. He said, "When I was young, I had my whole life mapped out. I had a timeline, a career plan, and ideas of how everything should be. But as he started to live his life, almost nothing went according to plan, or at least according to his plan. Jobs changed unexpectedly, doors closed, life shifted. And yet, every time I surrendered something I thought I needed, God replaced it with something better." He paused and said, "Looking back now, I can say this. God's ways are always better. Always." Friends, Mary and Joseph accepted God's invitation to the Christmas table without knowing where it would lead. But they surrendered, and their world was changed. Their world was changed for the better. This Advent season, God offers you the same invitation. God says, "Trust me. Surrender your plans. Follow me, even when you don't understand. I have done enough in my life of following God, and I can tell you this. His plan is better. His purpose is greater. And his peace is waiting for you on the other side of surrender." Amen.
To close today, we're going to just sing an a cappella chorus. It's on page 178, but you'll probably know the words. It's "O Come, All Ye Faithful." And I just think it ties so nicely into our message this morning. I was thinking of Mary and Joseph, and really that's all they were. They were just faithful. They probably weren't the smartest people in town or had it all together. They certainly didn't know all the answers, but they were faithful to the call that they each received. And, you know, we think of this song just as a Christmas carol, but it's really a personal invitation to us as the faithful, just to come to Jesus with what we have and to do that daily surrender and to see what he has for us when we live in that mindset. So sing with us this morning. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this morning and this opportunity to worship you. Lord, we thank you for the example that you give us in Mary and Joseph, Lord. Help us have that posture in our hearts, Lord, that when you call, we will answer just faithfully, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
That was an experience.